Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that as we come, they are the ancient words that are to guide us and lead us, encourage us in our lives. And I thank you, Father, that you call us to come, but may we come with open hearts. May your Holy Spirit minister in our hearts your truth, that, Father, you will build us up to be your people, encourage us in our way to serve you. And now, Lord, not my word, but your Spirit to write your truth in our hearts. For the glory of Christ we pray. Amen. One Tuesday night, Jan and I were watching a TV show called Old People's Home for four-year-olds. How many people saw that? Good. Some people know what I'm talking about now. On that show, a play school children were linked with retired people. A young boy on this particular night, he was afraid of dogs. And no one knew until the show was there. He was petrified. Well, that night there were dogs, and the boy and the older lady he was linked with, they were walking along a path. And as they were walking along this path, another child was coming with a dog the other way. Well, the boy got really frightened. And the lady kept saying, "Hold on to me. Hold on to me. I am with you. Hold on to me." She said it a few times, and he did hang on to her. And it worked. That the lady's words encouraged the boy to lose his fear. Today we're going to hear of a much greater "I am with you." Last time we met, we looked at Haggai's first oracle to the people. We saw that they lost their love for God. And Haggai, God's servant, gave them a warning. It was a negative sermon. In verse 12, Haggai started to encourage the people to refocus on God and get back to work. And we saw that the people started to respond to obey the word of the Lord. The people started to move to do God's decree because God's Spirit started to work in the hearts of the people. And so today we go on into the second oracle. So now we're going to look at verses 13 to 15 in chapter 1. God's promise, God's stirring, the people's response, and what is God challenging us with today? Well, God's promise. Isn't it marvelous how some words can be so encouraging to people, or some actions? The boss comes up to the employees and commends them for the work they are doing. Or when the boss rolls up their sleeves and gets in and helps out at the work, the people under their authority are really encouraged to do that. After Haggai's challenging speech to get the people back to work, and after they registered their intentions to carry out God's will, Haggai then steps forward and encourages the people again. Look what he says in verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. "I am with you," declares the Lord. Now remember, Haggai is God's spokesman. And the message he gives here is probably the greatest message he could have given at that time. He is declaring that God would be with the people as they undertook to rebuild the building. Now, how sufficient, how significant are those words to the Israelites? They would have remembered. They were covenant words of God to his people. They would have remembered the working of God in the past with his people. Haggai may have been pointing the people back to Isaiah 42. This passage reviews Israel's past and then in glowing terms speaks of the return of the Israel in verses 18 to 43:7. But just listen to Isaiah 43:4-7. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called in by my name, whom I created for my glory, who I formed and made. Haggai may have recalled the teaching of Isaiah 42:28, who said that Cyrus would allow the Israelites to return from captivity. And these Israelites Haggai is speaking to now were in exile. And they knew it was God who fulfilled his promise that allowed them to return to Jerusalem through Cyrus. They also knew the promise of God to their forefather Joshua, when God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The Israelites knew how God had led Joshua into the promised land. They knew how God used Joshua to capture it and divide the land up for the Israelite tribes. So the promise of God that Haggai said, I am with you, spoken to these Israelites in Jerusalem, had a history of depth to it. And the people knew precisely what Haggai was saying. The God of their forefathers would be with them to help them achieve the goal of rebuilding the temple as he was with their forefathers. And this is the promise to his people today as well. I am with you. Although it's different, as we'll see later. Well, secondly, God's spirit in verse 14a. God's stirring in verse 14a. Have you ever played sport? When you put on your jumper or your uniform of the team you were associated with, what happened? Did you take pride in playing for that team? Didn't the coach encourage you to do your best when you ran onto the field or on the court? Haggai has been encouraging the people to do their best. But we see now is the supernatural grace of God in verse 14a. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. In this verse, we see God is working in the hearts of all the people to encourage them to step out in faith and to start the work. In the Old Testament, when God's spirit came upon people and stirred up their spirit, then marvelous things took place. Take Samson in Judges 14, where he's on his way to Timnah. In verse 6, we read, the spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, and he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. Again, after Samson had been captured and his eyes been plucked out, the people bring him out to make fun of him in the great auditorium. And Samson is brought out before the crowd to entertain them in Judges 16. And he asked to stand between two pillars. And as he stood there, he prayed in verse 28, O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. And then in verse 30, we read that the prayer of Solomon was answered because he pushed with all his might and down came the pagan temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. You can read about Saul. You can read about Moses. You can read about any of the Old Testament characters, that when God's spirit came upon people in the Old Testament in power so they could do and go forth and do his will. And here in Haggai, God stirs the hearts of the Israelites in Jerusalem for that same reason, as we look at verses 14b to 15, the people's response. The third point. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Great news. The people have responded to God correctly. And that was to start rebuilding the temple. But look at the date. There appears to be a delay of 23 days from Haggai's original prophecy to the date of starting to rebuild the temple. Why is there a time lapse? Well, the sixth month was a month of harvesting. And during this time, there are some urgent tasks to be carried out. Many of the people Haggai is talking to would have had orchards or fields to attend to. So 23 days would allow the people to get all their work finished. Then they would be able to devote their time and energy to the work of the temple. And they started the work after they finished that. And all this happened a long time ago. Then how is this relevant to us today? For what is God challenging us with today? And the biggest challenge we face is, what are our hearts like? What are our hearts like? Sometimes when you go to the doctors, they take your temperature. Why? Why? I'm feeling all right. Well, they had to see if you are okay. Are you running a temperature? Is your blood pressure too high, too low? Well, are we too hot, too cold? Do we need antibiotics or other medicine to make us better? But how do we check our spiritual state? The answer is by dedication to God. Are we dedicated to God? Is our hearts on fire for God? Do we want to go and share our faith with others? Do we read God's word and rejoice in what God has done for us in Jesus? When a parent has a new child in their family, the parents can't wait to tell other people about the child's birth. When a person first becomes a Christian, they can't wait to tell others what they have done. They can't wait to get in and serve the Lord in whatever way they can. Consider, what is your heart's love for God? How would you rate your love for God? If I put a line up here and I said, this is naught, this is 10. 10 is the hottest, naught is the coldest. Where would you place yourself along that line? I pray we all might say we're at least 5 or better, because if we put ourselves down the 0 end, well, that's the rating of an atheist. And I'm sure none of us are that. Please remember how much Jesus loved you and loved me. He died on the cross to give us life to the full and for eternal life. So please make sure your faith and trust is in him. Please, all of us, may we consider how much Jesus loved us personally, so that we may increase in our love and devotion to him. Now, let me ask you, if it's a bitterly cold day and you came to church and the heaters are on, but someone really decided to turn them down to the lowest cold setting you could have, how would you feel? Wouldn't you want the heaters turned on so the room is cozy and you can feel a bit of warmth? What does God say to us in respect to being on fire for him? There's a number of passages, but I've chosen two. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And again, in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' make his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." The concept behind these verses is that God wants us to radiate his love out to people, so that they may come to know and to love him. And do you know, our lives may be the only Bible some people ever read. We are called to be alive and on fire for God all the time. But how sad God must be when his people fail to do that. So often, people who come to church So often, many people who come to church somehow neglect God the rest of the week. They show a very dim view, in fact, just about an extinguished light for him. You could say it's like a torch with the batteries just about dead. God warns all Christians in Revelation 3:15 and 16 these words. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. How do we shine for Jesus in our homes, in work, schools, down the street, in our clubs, in our groups, associated people we get with? Do we stand up and shine for Jesus in all that we do? I've got one man at golf won't play golf with me because of my faith in Jesus. Do you invite people into your homes and share God's love with them over a cup or a meal? Are we concerned about church growth, or are we comfortable? Do we invite people along to church to hear about Jesus, or do we let them do their own thing and not worry about them? God wants us to go and to reach out so many may come to know Jesus and find eternal salvation in him. Some time ago, a person told me how they carried out a funeral. And at the wake, that person was standing with a lady. And the lady asked that person, why does that person want to talk about Jesus? And that person went on to tell that lady how much Jesus had meant to him in his life and what Jesus was doing in his life. And as he did this, another person from his church came out. And after the lady went, said, "You should stop all this preaching to other people in the streets. You're not at church." I pray for those preaching each Sunday that they would be faithful to God and God would bless their ministry. And we all should be praying, if somebody is sharing their faith with somebody else down the street, that God's Spirit will be working in the hearts of that other person, that other person may come to faith in Christ. Yes, pray that God's Spirit would come into the hearts and hear the message, to reside in their hearts for eternity and to encourage them on in their service for God. Haggai's day is different to ours. In the Old Testament, God's Spirit came upon a person to do a job, and then God's Spirit could go off. That person could leave that person. Now Haggai has told the people God's promise, and God said to these people, "I am with you," and they got in to start the work. In the New Testament, since Pentecost, with the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit now comes and resides in the hearts of those who love and trust in Jesus for eternity. Therefore, today, Christians never walk alone. God is with his people all the time because God's Spirit is in their hearts to encourage them in his power to do his work. I believe we all should be reading and praying 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, which says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Let us pray that God's Spirit to kindle the flame in our own hearts so that we may grow in our love of Jesus, so that we can serve him in all that we do. Pray that God will enable us to speak of him and invite others to come and hear about Christ. Let us pray for God's Spirit to convict lethargic hearts and put them on fire for him. Let us pray, not my will done, Lord, not my will be done, O Lord, but yours. Let us be filled with the Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit, to bring glory to him. And as Haggai declared God's message to the people, I am with you. We too have that same message, but it is a greater message. As God says to his people today, I am with you today and for eternity. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that in Jesus, your Spirit is in our home. I thank you that we don't walk alone, that you are always there. And I thank you for opportunities you give to us to be your people. And Lord, I pray we would do that. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might guide us and direct us so that in all things we will bring glory to you in his name. Amen.